to 1 Corinthians. We're going to go through Corinthians here for a little while. Maybe 2 Corinthians, I don't know. But I know it's according to how long it takes me to get through. Get everything organized up here. We got to 1 Corinthians chapter, it was in chapter 1, we got to verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We've already covered the first part, and we've covered a lot in the second and third, but we're going to hit quite a bit in them. But you'll notice in these first 10 verses how many times he says Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ our Lord. That's for a simple reason. I've noticed as I've studied this book, and this week was a good week to study if you're retired. It's a lot of rain and a lot of cold and a lot of stuff, and I've put a lot of hours into it. But I've noticed that the first chapter is a introduction to the whole book of Corinthians. And we'll refer back to this as we go through. But he covers a lot of this stuff as he goes through. But we got to verse 9. It says, God is faithful. Now, we looked at salvation by faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, we believed him, didn't we? We believe him, and his faith is imputed to us. It's Jesus who's faithful. He's faithful to forgive us of our sins. He's faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful to deliver us. No, let's put it this way. He's faithful to provide us a way out of temptations. We just got to look for that way. When he provides that way, he's faithful to do it, but we got to choose it. Now, he's faithful. And I told you to read Romans chapter 3, and you'll see he's faithful to our salvation. All right? In verse 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. Now, I want you to notice here, he said the Lord Jesus Christ. But when they go to having problems, he'll refer to Christ. Why? Because some are following his teachings. Now, don't misunderstand me here, okay? But we'll see. Paul's going to tell them, see, you can, any chapter you get here, you can refer back to chapter 1. When he's teaching them that Jesus, yea, though Jesus Christ was a minister to the circumcision. See? Some people don't want to get away from that. All right, Hebrews chapter 6, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on. We'll look at that a lot more, okay? Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. If you're perfectly joined together, he's going to refer later on to the body. He wrote a cover sheet to this book, and it's the first chapter. And when you look at being perfectly joined together, that's a body, isn't it? What if our body's not perfectly joined together? If I've just got one arm, I'm hurting. And we'll see that in the chapter as we go through you. When he goes to talking about that body and how that body has many members. Some of them are handsome. Some of them are like me. They're not handsome. You go on like that. That's the body. But the body has its, like, I was talking, I'd have said it in this class, but I said, when we go to looking at the body, colon's not much to look at. But buddy, you can't do without it. Amen? That's the way a church is. He would not have referred it to a body. But you see, they like to choose what part of the body they would follow. And most of the time, it was the handsome part. Okay? And that there be no divisions among you, Man, that would be good, wouldn't it? He said that y'all speak the same thing. Have you ever been in the church where they all spoke the same thing? But if there was one body, like there's supposed to be one body, they would all speak the same thing, and they would speak the Word of God. As I've studied Corinthians, there's only a few men, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back or put no man down, but there's only just a few men that I like to read behind. And I don't mind naming them. Hey, most people don't want to name them. I like to read behind Peter Ruckman. I like to read behind James Knox. I like to read behind Dave Reese. And I like William Wilmington's Guide to the Bible. And you know what I found? Four different opinions of some of the best men. You know what I told myself this week? I said, brother, you've got to study this yourself. The Scripture is not of any private interpretation. The holy men of God spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. I find that we start teaching something, then when we get somewhere else in the Bible, we have to build a foundation under what we already said. I have to change mine, and you'll see me do that as we go through this book. Like I said, I had a good week. I would to sit down and study, and there was many, many hours I looked at this. And I seen, boy, you're wrong about what you said last time you went through Corinthians on a couple things. And I'll bring them out as I get to it. And a lot of these ideas came from looking at other people's ideas and then taking them to the Scriptures and seeing what the Bible actually said. And I really enjoyed reading from these people that I just mentioned. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I can follow a man that's following Christ. I can. To a certain extent. Till I see him start building the foundation under what he already believes or support his lifestyle. Then we're going to part. And you can do me the very same way. And how do you do it? With this book. That's how you do it. That you all say the same things, you speak the same mind, that you're perfectly joined together. That would be such a... He's going to have to talk to this church a little bit later about that body. Being perfectly joined together. Having eyes to see. Somebody has to lead a man that can't see. All right? Now, then it says, for it hath been declared unto me of you by you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are no contentions among you. Contentions come from divisions. Okay? Now, this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Choosing men to follow. That's what a carnal church does. Choosing men to follow. I tried to do a little look at these men, but I'm just going to basically sum it up. Times have not changed. We're the same. If we're not following men, we're following in this way. We're to look at, now, I say to everyone, you saith, I'm of Paul. Dispensationalist. True? Paul has a dispensation. He really does. And there ain't no way you can get around it. He has the dispensation to the Gentiles. Doctrinally, you better stay with him. And that's all I'll say about that. And I'm from Apollos. Apollos, Orthodox Jew. Know the Lord and saved. But I guarantee you, some people were saying, we got to do this, we got to do that. There's divisions among them now, let's be honest. And Paul's pointing these things out. So you have Apollos, he's an Orthodox Jew. And I have Cephas, he's the first pope. Am I not right? I'm comparing those times to now. You got your dispensationalist, and you got those people that want to put you under law. Right? And you have the Catholic. And they've saved people in these places who are under these teachings. and I of Christ. And I of Christ. Now, there's teachings that'll come in here when, of Christ. And Paul will tell them, yea, though Jesus Christ was the minister to the circumcision. We have people who are following Christ's teachings today to the hilt. And you know where, and look at me, and you, everybody looks at me, and I see them eyes crossed and everything else. The Sermon on the Mount, buddy, they'll fire you up on that. Amen? But I'm saved by grace through faith, apart from works. Totally apart from works. And people want to choose people to follow and people to study. It's this book that's going to straighten us out. Now, I'm going to leave it at that. There, we'll talk about this some more. Because Paul's going to, he's wrote a cover sheet for this whole book right here. If you don't believe it, watch it. Watch what he's doing here. When a man will write a book, he'll tell you in the first two or three pages why he wrote that book, won't he? And what his emphasis is going to be on. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Remember, he's going to talk about that body. Is Christ divided? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He's going to have to cover that a little later. And I'm not going to go much into the details on these verses because we're going to cover them a little later. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. How do we get back into the dispensationalist? Who's an ultra-dispensationalist who will not accept baptism at all. And he'll boot it plumb out of the church. And he'll base it on that scripture. And Paul said, you know, that God sent him not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Right? We'll talk about that as we go. He'll talk about that, okay? Lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. So he turns around and answers why he said that. Right there. That verse is your answer. He said, he didn't say I didn't baptize any of you, and you can't say I did. Or I didn't, excuse me, he didn't say I didn't baptize anybody, because he did. And he did after that. People that were saved after that were baptized. So I don't think you can take that and boot baptism out, but it ain't going to save you. He's going to clearly teach you that. It's an ordinance, not a sacrament, nor is the Lord's Supper. It's not a sacrament. Lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name, and I baptized also the household of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Let me get caught up on my notes here. Make sure I'm covering what I want to cover. All right. Some will use these verses, all of them, to get rid of baptism. And they'll back it up by other scriptures. It's easy, folks. I've seen this. It's easy to get an idea and back it up with scripture. But is it the thrust of what the Bible is saying? If you'll take Corinthians and read to Corinthians and look at Corinthians as a carnal church. Okay? Look at them as a carnal church and look at chapter 1 as a covering for that. And he's going to cover these things as he goes through. And he's going to talk about these things. And to say Paul only didn't preach baptism is glad of, you know, you look at his whole ministry. And we'll look at it when Acts 20, 21, where he, and Acts 26, 20, he preached baptism and repentance. And he preached it so close to what John was saying, it would have confused you if you did not know that. He said, come showing meat for repentance. Why? Because repentance needed to be in that church. And we're going to talk about this as we go to it in Corinthians. A man needed to repent of his sin. Okay? And we'll look at that as we go through. Like I say, this is their opening to it. (Clears throat) And then I've covered this a lot here in 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. God's not interested in how smart we are. Because Paul is going to come on later and say he's a fool for Christ, and that God chose the foolishness of preaching. The Greeks seek after wisdom, and they called it foolishness. That's why he said that, folks. He just left Athens. All that knowledge, all that brilliancy, all that democracy. He just left that. And he said, you see your calling, brethren. Okay? I'm not going to hit. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Now, 14 through 17 is used a lot to get rid of baptism. That's not what Paul is doing here. Look, there's a carnal church, and they're saying, this man baptized me. I'm following him and what he says. This man did that. I'm following him. Hey, don't tell me we ain't been there. I grew up practically in my Christian life in an independent Baptist church, and they're one of the world's worst in following men. Now, I know you're not going to like it, but I'm telling you the truth. Buddy, these men will step out there and we'll listen to, and we should, if they follow in Christ, follow them to that point that they set themselves above Christ. And you say, well, they don't intend to do it. Intention's not the matter. Intention doesn't matter. Because we're to follow God's word the best that we can, and it's not easy. These men that I respect so dearly, that when I have a problem in my book, I go to my little old library, and I want to see what Brother So-and-so said about it. And there's a man who's recently growed into my library, and that's James Knox. James has growed into my library, because I like what he says a lot of times. But that don't mean I'm going to follow him. That means I'm going to see what God gave him. He might not have gave me that yet. And I find a lot of that. There's very little I know because of the background of my education. But there's one thing I do know, that I'm saved by grace through faith apart from works totally. And I know that I didn't merit it, nor deserve it, nor can I keep it. And I know that, like I've said about Romans, saved by grace through faith plus nothing. Galatians, I'm kept by grace through faith plus nothing. Ephesians, those that are saved by grace through faith plus nothing, and kept by grace through faith plus nothing. That body, that church. Colossians is the head of that body. Amen? 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians is a characterization of it. It's how's it going to come out of me? What should it look like? And it wasn't looking right in Corinthians. Wasn't looking good at all. And Paul's rebuking them. Okay? He said, for it is written, I will destroy it. And let me get back. For the preaching of the cross is them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Baptism is not the power of God. Okay? Now let's say I've said a lot about we can't kick it out, but it's not the power of God. That thief never even got a sprinkling, did he? Not one sprinkling did he get. Not one washing that he would have got in the Old Testament did he get. Not one. Baptism is not the power of God. The preaching of the 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. In 1 Corinthians 1:24, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. In Matthew 22:29, the scripture is the power of God. And in Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God. And in Romans 15:19, the Holy Spirit is the power of God. Now, if the preaching is the power of God and the Holy Spirit is the power of God and the gospel, which is the word of God, is the power of God. How do you separate the power of God? You know, as I looked, as I studied in this book this week and looked at 13th chapter of Corinthians, and man, I said, which way do I go? This one says that, and that one says this. On that which is perfect is come, that in part shall be done away. We're headed that way. You know what I see a lot of them forgetting? Forgetting what this first chapter said, and it was a cover sheet for what was going to come. But what we want to take is them things God said would cease and cut them down the middle and say, well, yeah, this went away. Tongues went away. But prophecy's still here. Knowledge shall vanish away. Well, knowledge is knowing things. But let me tell you what we're going to look forward to learning here is that tongues was assigned to the Jews. An interpretation to, let's put it this way, tongues was assigned to the Jews. Knowledge was a sign of prophecy. If a man prophesied, somebody had the knowledge to say what he prophesied and talk about it. That's Joe Allen's interpretation of this, but you read it, you'll see that. Honestly, take a look at it. Don't take my word for it. Tongues was assigned to the Jews. Knowledge was to prophecy, right? What tongues is to a sign, and what... let me just flip there just a second. Lose my own train of thought. But it'll remind me of my thinking when I get here. Charity never faileth, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Tongues is assigned to the Jews. Interpretation is assigned to tongues. Knowledge just goes with prophecy. You can't say, well, knowledge didn't cease when the book was complete. Knowledge is never going to cease, but the knowledge that went with prophecy did. That's right. That's where I stand. And I've weighed the evidence. And I'm on the jury. Okay? But I have a plumb bob to drop beside of it. This. And you spent enough hours into looking at it. If not, let's go over what Paul, you can see what Paul said all the way through here about being complete. He talked about babes. Every time you find a babe, you find a person who's not in the Word of God. Every time you find children, it's a reference to the Word of God, not a mature Christian going on to completion. If completion is the complete Christian life and reaching that, then if that completion is that Christian life, well, let me back off of this. Let me come back to something else here before I get into that, before I get stirred at. That which is complete. How can you have a complete life without the Word of God? Folks, honestly, if I say that which is complete is the complete Christian, and he's to achieve that, and he's not to be a child tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and I'm going to stay in Corinthians and end with that, then how is he ever going to be a complete Christian? Can a complete Christian be complete without the Word of God? Now, Colossians says we're complete in Him. Amen? We are complete as far as our standing in Him. We are complete in Him. But we're to go on. So Paul's going to be dealing here in Corinthians with a bunch of people that's not going on. Hebrews chapter 6. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance toward dead works. Right? You had some people he was telling to get complete. How did they get complete? By somebody with some knowledge. Follow me? Are you following me or am I too crazy? I mean, are you following me? They were followed by somebody who had some knowledge of prophecy and had the gift of knowledge. And that gift of knowledge, they told them, you got to go on. Because if you don't go on, you can't, no foundation, Paul's going to say, can any man lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. He said, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the repentance from dead works. How are they going to go to perfection? By prophecy and the Word of God. But he's going to tell them over here in Corinthians, these things are going to go away. They're going to complete. And whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. People will say, well, prophecies don't never fail. They just complete. After this book, they're going to fail. Muhammad's are going to fall flat of their face. They're going to fail. Joseph Smiths are going to fail. Russellites are going to fail. Because they're not in this complete book. They're going to fail. We're going to look at that as we go. But he's laying the foundation for all this rigmarole that's going on in this church. I'm a Paul. I'm a Apollos. And he'll cover that as we go. But 17 and 18, we look at what the power of God is. And brother, you cannot separate Jesus Christ from the Word. And you cannot separate the Holy Spirit from God. And you cannot separate the Scriptures from God. The Word, the power of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. You say, well, that's a different word. But the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Holy Spirit said, I'm going to talk about the Word. And when I speak, he's going to cover that too in here. I'm going to speak about Him. I'm going to speak about Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And bring emphasis to Him. But this church wanted to bring emphasis to the Spirit. And they said, oh well. Watch words and how men say them. Turn your radio on. Listen to Christ. 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 And he's going to want to baptize you as fast as you had to swim to get you saved. Paul said, I'm going to talk to you. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just Christ. But our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he's going to go on in chapter 3 and 4 and say, if ministers were faithful to this, then we wouldn't have problems. 18 through 21. The power of God is the gospel. And we're saved through preaching. The world uses education. Man's wisdom. They think they can save the world. They think they can convert Muhammad and Muslims by education. They don't want your education. They don't want your TV. They don't want these things. Why can't we see how if the Christian gets labeled with this, doesn't he? And that we don't know how to understand. Why do they think that Islam is not related to the Quran and the Hadith? The Hadith, I believe, is the way you say it. Which one of them is the writings of Muhammad that was interpreted to him. And the other one's just his, like the Pope can add to something. He could add to it. So there's what he added, the Holy Prophet they're calling him, added to that. So he could kill people and behead them. And to that radical Islam, that's where he's standing, buddy, in what the Muhammad, what he taught. I tried to get a little familiar with that this week, sit down and read a book on it. Islam in the Last Days. Buddy, it wasn't wrote last week, but when you look at it, you think it was. It was just wrote by somebody who looked at what was going on according to this book. And they want to say those people are taking that prophecy that's going to fail. They think they're going to take this world. And buddy, they said about, if you remember what Sam Valini preached here in revival several years ago, you remember that? About Muslims and how they're all over the world, how they were in France. And he even spoke of France. That's somebody that's studying what is coming on. And see, we've looked at our last days so much and thought about European nations and all this, but did you watch them get arm in arm together the other day? Take the Muslims out of them and count them. Folks, it's coming. You better get ready. As the old guy says, they're coming with it. Yes, sir. Lord, who's going to settle it? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to make them his footstool. So 18 through 21, the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. The scriptures are the power of God. But you cannot separate the power of God. We want to do it. When I fellowshipped with this book this week, who was I fellowshipping with? Answer me. Who spoke to me? The Holy Spirit. Why are we afraid to say that? I believe it's the same reason we're afraid to say radical Islam. We don't believe either one. Right? All right. The Jews, verse 22. For the Jews require signs, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:10, 3:18, 1:21, 1:23, 2 Corinthians 11:23, fools. That's the way they look at you. He said, fools for Christ. That's the way people who want worldly wisdom look at you as a fool. Exactly. Paul's saying, man, that's okay. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. Why is he the stumbling block to a Jew? He's going to talk about this as we go. He's going to talk about it because he won't go on to perfection. He wants to keep repentance toward dead works. Why are they? They wasn't dead before Christ died. They worked to a certain point. But boy, they're dead as a doornail now. He says, because if you fall away now, you're not going to be renewed with them. He said, there's no way. We'll talk about this as we go. See how this first chapter's cover sheet for what's going to be in the rest of the book? But unto which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. That's what we were talking about a while ago. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh. You see, that's clear. Not many wise after the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Weak. And base things of the world and things which are despised. Do you see that word? Despised? Fools? Hey, when people get in a political position and say things that about God, about doing things right before God, they'll be despised. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. No flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. If you wasn't dumb, you wouldn't need wisdom. That's what He's saying. If you wasn't unrighteous or a sinner, you wouldn't need righteousness. If you wasn't in the flesh, you wouldn't need sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We might glory down here. I might try, get up here and try to glory in your presence. But I won't glory in the presence of the Lord. No way. Him that glories, let him glory in the Lord. And if you're in a position glorying in the Lord or glorifying the Lord, you're going to be despised. The reason most of us ain't despised, we wasn't in that position to get despised. A lot of people, I think, when I read this scripture, and I'm not patting Jim on the back, he knows that, but I thought of him. These people despise that man. Talk to him. Yeah.